Good morning. We are continuing with our topic of Ani HaMa'afech B'Charara. A quick recap on what we have seen. We are discussing a situation where there is somebody who is selling or renting out an item. It could be an apartment. It could be something else. It could even be for a job, trying to hire someone for a job. And there is somebody who is interested in it. It can be, we'll call him purchaser number one or renter number one or employee number one or potential employee number one. And somebody else comes and seizes the deal, takes the deal, buys the item, rents it, or takes that job. And we saw that if it fits the criteria of Ani HaMa'afech B'Charara, that the second person is Nikra Rasha. So we said that there are two fundamental questions when analyzing this. Fundamental question number one is, are we talking about a situation of a purchase and sale on the one hand, or is it more a mitzia, something that is difficult to find item, it's found, it's unusual and rare. And we said that if it's indeed in a commercial transaction, a purchase, sale, and the like, and the second one seizes the deal, that is going to violate the prohibition of Ani HaMa'afech B'Charara. But if it's a mitzia, it's not going to violate the prohibition of Ani HaMa'afech B'Charara. The second fundamental question is, when does the prohibition start? Does it start when the person is just thinking about buying the item, or he negotiated for the item? So we saw the opinion of the Mordechai. The Mordechai told us that once they have agreed on price, that is when the prohibition kicks in. But if they don't have agreement on price, we're talking about seller and the seller and purchaser number one, or renter number one, etc., and then number two comes and takes it. If number one had not agreed on price with the seller yet, then there's no Nikra Rasha, there's no prohibition of Ani HaMa'afech B'Charara on the second person to come in and seize the deal. But we saw the Chumrah of the Prisha on that, that even if purchaser number one is negotiating for the deal and they will reach agreement on the price, then if number two comes in and seizes that opportunity, the deal, etc., he is Nikra Rasha. So today we have two additional questions. We've been assuming that there is a seller of an asset or somebody who owns an asset and he wants to rent it out or hire somebody, and he has discussions, he has agreement with the first person, and the second person comes and takes that opportunity. So the person who is wrong here is the second person. He is indeed the one who is Nikra Rasha, because he's going out of his way to try to get that deal. So question number one is, how about if it's not purchaser or renter or potential employee number two that goes and approaches the owner of the asset, etc., but it's the owner of the asset or the person trying to hire somebody, it's him who approaches the second individual. Will we still say that it is Nikra Rasha? That second person is still Nikra Rasha. He didn't actively go and try to get the asset, purchase the asset, get the deal, etc., but rather he was approached. If he is approached, is he still Nikra Rasha? So the Sma on Choshen Mishpat was asked the following questions. There was a Maisa with a non-Jew who was attempting to purchase some alcoholic beverages, and he approached seller number one. It's not a purchaser seller, but it's a similar structure here, that he approaches seller number one, a Jew, and they agree on price. They shake hands. And then the non-Jew goes and approaches Jew number two, and he says, if you can give me X price, then I will buy it from you. But he didn't tell him about the first seller, that he agreed on price with the first seller. He goes to the second seller and trying to get a better price. And it's interesting in the fact scenario there that the first seller got wind. He somehow had a sense that this non-Jew who was trying to buy the alcoholic beverages was going to approach the second seller. So he sent a shaliach, he sent a messenger to him and said that the first seller already reached terms with the non-Jew, the purchaser, and you can't sell it to him. And the second Jew, he disregarded that. He went forward. He gave a good price. The price was better than the original price that the purchaser had with the first Jewish seller, and they closed the deal. And now the person who lost out on the deal, that's the first Jewish seller, says, Ani HaMa'afech B'Charara, you took my deal. And the defense was, I didn't go to him, he came to me. He came to me. So the Sma paskind as follows, Nira Pasha Dim Ein Arama Bedavar Lifi Reos Adayanim. If there's really no fraud going on here, in other words, if that second seller who actually got the deal really was innocent, he did not approach the purchaser of the non-Jewish purchaser that wanted the alcoholic beverages, but he was the one who was approached. And he was passive in the deal. He sold the goods, but he wasn't the one who was actively trying to get the deal. We don't punish the second person. Because the second person was approached, and he wasn't the one who was trying to bust up the deal. He wasn't approaching somebody else. So he brings a proof for it. And at the end of the day, he says, here we had the non-Jewish purchaser approach the second seller. And it's not that the second seller approached him, and it's not that the second seller said, don't buy from the first person. He wasn't actively trying to bust up the deal. He says that this is not a problem of ani mehafech becharar. So we see here that based on this sma, in a situation where number two isn't initiating the breaking up of the deal, but rather it's the seller of the item, the owner of the item, it's the other party that's approaching him, then we would say that it is not a problem of ani hamehafech becharara. And the second question that we have is there a prohibition as well on the seller? Now, we're going into the normal situation that we have a seller and we have a purchaser. So we have a purchaser and he's agreed on the price with the seller. And now the seller is approached by purchaser number two. Does the seller himself have to say to purchaser number two, I've already reached price, I've agreed on price to sell the asset or to rent out the asset with the first purchaser, or can he go and get a better price? It's fine for him to get a better price or not. So the Pesachei Choshen says this question is not clear in the postgame if there's a prohibition on the seller himself, because he's kind of playing it both ways. He's agreed to price the first one, and now he's going to sell it to the second one. I don't see if there's a prohibition. The postgame don't talk about it. Also, it's unclear from the postgame if he has an obligation to inform the second purchaser that he already has a first purchaser and he's agreed on price with him. Lechora, apparently, says the Pesachei Choshen, mutal gam ala mocher tzad chiyuv lehodiyo. Apparently, there's an obligation on the seller to inform the second individual that wants to purchase the asset. He has to inform him, and it could be that he is violating the prohibition of mesayeya yedei over avera, that he is facilitating a crime, because he is being approached by number two, not informing him, and now number two is going to be violating the prohibition of ani amachbef v'charara. He is assisting, he is aiding and abetting that violation of the halacha, and especially that is going to be the case if they have agreed on price. He's also going to be considered mechusar amana, somebody who is not trustworthy. So it could be that he will, and the second seller, but especially the first person, that the seller is going to be mechusar amana, not a trustworthy person, because he already agreed to sell that asset to purchaser number one, and now he's going to sell it to somebody else. Then he adds on, interestingly, it could be that if the second purchaser is adding on the price, then maybe there is no prohibition on the seller. If he's getting a better price, why would that be the case? So a couple possibilities. Number one, that the Chazal indeed were concerned about the seller. They want to make sure that the seller is able to get his price. So if he's able to get a better price, maybe they weren't goes to the prohibition of ani amafech b'charara. It could also be that we said that there the situations that there is a prohibition of ani ma'ach becharara, if it's a mecher, if it's a sale, but if it's a mitzia, if it's something that is a great deal, it's a find, it's something that's ownerless, there's no prohibition of ani ma'ach becharara. So it could be that if a seller is getting a better price from purchaser number two, it could be that this is no longer considered a mecher, that there's a problem ani ma'ach becharara. It could be now that this is considered mitzia, and ani ma'ach becharara does not apply. apply. So that Pischei Choshen goes and he brings from the Chuvas Halichas Yisrael, read it inside, Shishtaveh Maschir Dira Al Mechir Mishpacha. There was a renter, he owned a property, owned an apartment, and he agreed to rent out the apartment to a family, V'acharkach Ba'u Zug. Afterward, a couple came to him and they wanted to rent it as well. So that we have renters number one, we have renters number two. Renter number one is a family, renter number two is just a couple, and obviously he preferred the couple who wants two adults and 10 children as opposed to just a couple newlyweds. The apartment will not be nicked up and beaten up as much as from the first renter. So he preferred the second one. That was his preference. And the Tshuvas Halichas Yisrael Paskin She'ein Bazedina Me'afech, that the couple that wanted to rent it out, there's no prohibition on Avani Amafech Becharara. Why? Because the owner of the apartment who's renting it to them, he has the right to choose who he wants. And he does have a preference. And even though the second renter, they came second, it doesn't matter. He still has a preference between them, and because of that, there should not be a problem of onimah. Similar to having a higher price. So he has a preference, he's allowed. All else equal, he has to go with the first one. But if he has real preference for the second one, then he would not be bound by his verbal agreement with the first one, and he can go with the second one. And he says that the Chazon Ish was asked this question, and he thought from Svara that is correct. He wanted to spend more time looking into the Shaila, but the Chazon Ish indeed did think that this is correct. So we see here that indeed when it comes to the seller himself, under normal circumstances, is going to be obligated to inform the second person that approaches him. It could be somebody who's a second purchaser or second renter, etc., etc. He may have to inform him that he's already in contract, he's already actually read a verbal agreement with the first one, and it could be that he's obligated to do so. It could be that he violates the Isra of Misaye Yedei Ovi Avera, that is similar to Leif Neiver, it's a Durabana Leif Neiver. Certainly if they have agreed on price, then he may have to inform the second one. But if the second one is giving a better deal, offering a better price or better terms, then indeed we do have a basis to say that the seller is no longer bound by the first verbal agreement, they've agreed on price, and he could go with the second person. Obviously that doesn't look good still, and a shaila definitively needs to be asked. Have a wonderful day.